Hey folks, David Jackson with you from the Boone Chamber. Before we start this week's Archive of Mind Your Business, want to point out that it is a Shop Local Saturday in the High Country. What does that mean? Get out there and support your local businesses. It can't be more simple, right? So what we're asking you to do is if you're out and about on Saturday, we encourage you to make as many local purchase decisions as possible. As you know, through COVID-19, a number of our small businesses here in the community are just doing what they can to get by right now. So every time that you make a purchase through a local business that is not driven through an online component, we're not buying from big box online here. We're talking about supporting small local businesses. Every time you do that, that affects your neighbors, that affects people that are putting food on their table thanks to the business that you are providing them. So when you are able to make those local purchase decisions this weekend, all we ask is that you snap a picture, post it on your social media, tag Shop Local Saturday, and tag the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce in that so we can get some visibility for those businesses, and you can do them a solid by promoting the fact that they are here and they are eager and willing to serve. Now remember, when you're out, practice the 3 W's. Wait, wear, wash, and show your love out there in the High Country. Thanks very much for doing this. And again, Shop Local Saturday, the third Saturday of every month throughout the course of the rest of 2020. And we look forward to getting you out there safely and responsibly. Hit those streets and support those local businesses. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy Mind Your Business.
Mind Your Business, brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate. Visit AppalachianCRE.com.
A pleasant good morning to you. Welcome into another installment of Mind Your Business here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM. I'm David Jackson, President and CEO of the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for joining us on this mid-July Thursday. Thanks to our friends at Appalachian Commercial Real Estate for making this show possible for us all each and every week. And a busy show we've got for you once again, as we have talked a lot here this week about the return to school, be that public school, and had an excellent chance to interview Dr. Scott Elliott on our Keep Boone Healthy Facebook page Tuesday, shortly after Governor Roy Cooper's announcement came out about the return to public school and just what that means in Watauga County. So if you're interested in that interview, check that out on our Keep Boone Healthy Facebook page. It's about a half an hour long, and it really details how the Plan B will translate here in Watauga County. But as the public school conversation is going on, there is still also conversation about what the return to school looks like for Caldwell Community College and Technical Institute here in Watauga County, and certainly Appalachian State. And we hope to get some further guidance and detail on those plans here in the coming days and week ahead. But we also know that a big part of those two Institutes of Higher Learning's operation center around Apple Cart and the service that our local public transportation provider provides for not only students that go to those particular institutions, but the faculty and staff and other folks that come in contact with campus, how they utilize that service as well. So we had the opportunity this week to catch up with Craig Hughes. He's the director of Apple Cart. And earlier this week, there was some information that came out about some route changes that Apple Cart was making due to the COVID-19 pandemic. These are temporary route changes. I think that's important to note. And they also have been done to very low volume routes or low volume stops on routes. So we wanted to get Craig on the program this week to really detail out what those plans are, to explain the service and how that's changed, and basically how people can still utilize those same routes to get to the same destinations, but may just have to go through an extra step or two to do so. So we'll talk with Craig Hughes after we come back from this break. You're listening to Mind Your Business here this morning on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM.
Mind Your Business, brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate, sales, leasing, and property management services.
Welcome back into Mind Your Business here this morning on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM. Our program is always brought to you by our good friends at Appalachian Commercial Real Estate. David Jackson with the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce. And as we talked about before the break, a lot of community logistics going into our return to fall. We heard from Dr. Scott Elliott earlier this week on our Keep Boone Healthy Facebook page about what the school system is doing to start that process and get parents familiar and staff members familiar with how the return to public school will be. There are a lot of other businesses, educational institutions and whatnot that are also thinking about that return to, I don't want to call it normal, but a little bit more normal activity of moving around and going from place to place. And certainly one of our great partners in that effort here in the High Country is Apple Cart. We've got Craig Hughes with us, the director of Apple Cart, to go through some of the logistics that his operation has been faced with here during COVID-19. So Craig, first of all, thanks for joining us today. Take us back to March a little bit first, so we can set some context here. Apple Cart was experiencing, from our conversations, just record numbers in terms of ridership. How quickly did that fall off when COVID hit?
Prior to the COVID event, David, we were running about 13,000 trips per day average. That's pretty hefty amount of passengers we were carrying. Once we went into spring break and started and the online classes started, our ridership dropped to like around 500 passengers per day on the fixed route system. So it was quite a dip from what we were used to seeing.
Amazing. And now as you are looking at trying to work with a partner, obviously Appalachian State students are a big part of that ridership, but Apple Card also services a lot of business interest as well. How do you balance out in a time right now that we still don't know and may not know for a few more weeks exactly what operational plans look like? How have you and your staff worked over the last few months to make sure that some of those contingencies show up in a bus route?
There's been three focuses we've had. You know, one's the cleaning, second's the precautionary measures that we've taken, and then third's been the operations to try to make things smooth, efficient, and safe for our passengers in their commutes. The one of the things that's probably on everybody's radar right now that was in the Watauga Democrat and in the media and on social media was we removed some stops temporarily from service to try to make things more efficient. Things that people need to really understand is that, you know, we talked about the focus being the sanitizing of the buses, you know, making sure our drivers are protected and our passengers safe. You know, this third thing that I just mentioned, we want to make sure our buses are only stopping when they're necessary and that air is flowing from the buses, because one of the things that we understand with COVID-19 is the importance to not be in a confined area and have fresh air circulating so that it disperses the virus that may be airborne. The bus stops that we removed temporarily were, most of them were underutilized. A lot of them had less than one passenger boarding per day. Most of them were in close proximity of another stop. We did the measurements. It's like a quarter of a mile between stops at the most. So I think it's a reasonable thing for people to ask. You know, our whole thing has been, you know, less time on the bus equals less time in a confined area equals less spread. You know, we're trying to be a good partner with the community and, you know, doing the three W's, wait, wash, and wear a mask. So that's some other things we'll talk about as we go through the program.
Sure. And again, we're talking with Craig Hughes of Apple Cart about some route changes that were announced earlier this week. And then obviously a lot of folks ride the buses. You rarely see an Apple Cart bus with just a few people on it. So we'll get into some of those safety procedures and cleanliness practices here in just a few moments. Craig, going back to the stop changes, you mentioned temporary to this. What would be an ideal timeline for you to resume full service? What does that need to look like? Is that more maybe benchmarked on a return to normal operations for Appalachian State, or is that, you know, a certain benchmark that you're looking for?
Obviously, we want to, like everyone else, we want to see a reduction in the spread of the virus. And that way, when the virus spread slows down and the state starts moving into phase three, and we start, you know, getting a little bit more confident that it's not going to spread, we can open some of those stops back up, possibly. And some of them we'll look at just, you know, because the ridership was so low, do we need it? But when we do that, we'll make an announcement to the public. We'll give them a chance to give feedback and comments, say, no, I'd really like to see that stop come back. And then we'll have a public hearing on it with our board so that the board will be able to hear from the public too.
I know that there was some concern about folks thinking that they may not have the same kind of access, but if you're just removing stops from you know, a particular point to speed up the process, do you have the redundancy to make sure that those routes are still served, maybe just not by the same number of stops?
Yeah, we've checked most of the stops are within a quarter mile of each other. I mean, a very short walking distance. I say quarter mile, less than a quarter of a mile with each other. So there's still service along those same routes. You just may not be able to use the same route that you're used to. And to my knowledge, we didn't pull anything that has a shelter on it. So, you know, you may be walking to a bus that has a shelter now instead of standing out in the open. But the big thing is, you know, again, reduce people's time on the bus. I mean, every time that bus stops, it's like a minute or two to get it slowed down, stop, unload passengers, and then get it going again. You know, and when you add that up over a 6 mile route, that number ticks on up there. You all of a sudden you go to from, I mean, that can save as much as 5 minutes, 5-6 minutes on this route.
Were there any things from a local services standpoint that you feel like may make for a little bit more logistically planned out commute for folks, or are the big spots where you're traditionally carrying people daily, whether that's Appalachian State, Hospitality House, some of the bigger volume stops, do you feel like you're still serving those in the way that you need to from a ridership perspective?
We feel the bigger stops are definitely getting served. And obviously we don't want to do anything to hinder that. We realize that there are more users than the App State students. So we want to make sure that people are able to get their doctor's appointments, get the jobs, get to the grocery store, the essential things that they have to do every day. We didn't take anything from anybody away from there. They still have access to all those services. So we were very focused in what we did, making sure that they all made sense, and had several conversations about that.
Craig Hughes joining us from Apple Cart. One more quick question about route changes, and we'll take a break and come back and talk about safety. And just to clarify, these route changes that you're discussing here are changes to the fixed route service. Has anything changed with the way that folks access the other forms of transportation that Apple Cart provides? And can they still rely on that in the same kind of logistical way that they line up those rides as they have before?
Yeah, those are the same as they were before the announcement to cut stops. One of the comments that we heard was there were concerns about, well, somebody may not be physically able to get to one of the new stops. And what we have in place, and we're required to by ADA, is our complimentary paratransit service. So if someone is physically unable to get to a stop, we have an application they fill out. They'll send it to their doctor's office. The doctor will verify it, sign off on it, and we can put them into our complimentary paratransit service, which essentially means if the van pulls up at their house, picks them up, they've got a scheduled time with our dispatch, and we take them to where they need to go, and we can bring them back later on.
So excellent. Excellent information here this morning from Craig Hughes of Apple Cart. We're going to take a time out. When we come back, we'll talk some about safety procedures and cleanliness procedures that Apple Cart will be implementing. Again, one of the most important pieces logistically to keeping our community moving. We'll be doing some new things to combat COVID-19, as all of us are. And we'll detail those next as we continue with Mind Your Business, an exclusive presentation of the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM.
Mind Your Business, brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate. Visit AppalachianCRE.com.
Welcome back into Mind Your Business this morning on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM. David Jackson with the Boone Chamber, joined by Craig Hughes of Apple Cart. We're talking Apple Cart operations, of course, some route changes that were discussed last week. Craig just detailed those fairly well for us. And now I think as people are used to seeing Apple Cart buses moving and moving quite full most of the time through our community during our normal periods of operation. Folks that utilize the bus may be curious to know what cleanliness procedures, safety procedures they may encounter as they begin to use those services more and more as we move toward the fall. So, Craig, I know you and your staff have been working a lot with state partners, getting guidance, working locally to try to figure out what the best methods of operation are for your team. What have you all come up with in terms of that operational plan for how buses will look and feel and be used by the folks that hop on here throughout the course of the summer and fall?
Well, when passengers get on, they'll notice a few changes on the bus right away. First thing, we've installed sanitizing, hand sanitizer stations on the buses right when you walk on the door. So you can get on, clean your hands as you get on the bus and as you get off, whatever you need to do. That's on all of our vehicles, our buses, and the van should have some hand sanitizer in there for passengers to use too. All of our drivers are required to wear masks while driving apple cart vehicles. Doesn't matter if it's a bus, van, or anything else. They have them on. All employees are screened daily. When they walk through the door, our dispatch office is scanning them, checking for temperatures, and going through the protocols that Department of Health and Human Services has asked us or recommended, so that we make sure our drivers are healthy and feeling good and that they're safe to drive vehicles with our be with our passengers. The buses and vans are sanitized each Sunday afternoon with a deep cleaning. We've got a fogging agent that's put in there to kill the virus. Those are done weekly. We've got teams that we've set up. They're going on the buses throughout the day to clean the buses, wipe down the touch surfaces. When school starts up, what we anticipate is whenever a driver starts out in the morning, wiping down his whole bus to get ready to go. When we have a driver change for somebody to go to lunch, the driver that's leaving will clean down his work area, make sure that's not nice and clean for the next sanitary for the next driver. The driver coming on will wipe down all the touch surfaces on the bus so that it's clean for passengers. Face coverings are now required for all the passengers, unless you have a medical condition. So again, you know, we're trying to do our part to make sure we're not spreading it to our passengers, and we also want passengers to make sure they're not spreading to each other or to our drivers.
And as you look at, you know, kind of an overall look and feel to things from an occupancy standpoint on a bus, again, you see apple carts filled to the brim most times. Do you feel like there is a magic number per route, or is that going to be kind of a per route type thing? Some I know are utilized more than others, but what will be the general practice for when a bus is too full to pick up anybody else, and will there be any additional measures taken to make sure that people get to where they need to go because of your reduced occupancy and some of the other things that you're working through?
Well, we've been working with other transit systems around the state. Everybody's having the conversation on, okay, what's the best practice to do? How do we handle it and make sure everybody's safe and try to do some social distancing? But you know, buses are only so big, so there's only so much space you can get in there, and you know, you don't want to just ride around with five or six people on a bus that's designed to carry 60, 70 people. It's just not efficient for the passengers to get anywhere or an efficient use of the equipment. So we don't really have that magic number yet. We've not had problems with crowding through the summer because we're on a break schedule and haven't had a lot of demand for service. But as we get closer, we'll be dialing that in. What we started doing, though, is marking off seats. So we've spaced seats so that there's at least one seat between everybody. No one's sitting directly across from anybody facing each other or behind anybody so that, you know, if somebody coughs or sneezes, they're not going to be spreading germs to those folks. So as we get closer to August 10th, August 17th, that area, we'll be putting out a number about, okay, this is the limit on capacity. We want to make sure that we'll try to ensure that nobody gets left behind. So that may take some trip planning on our passengers' part. You may not be able to get the prime time to get to class or to work. So you might want to allow yourself some extra time to get there or travel at some different times. We're going to try to make it a little easier for people to see the bus is full when it goes by. And that's going to be tough because a passenger may see a bus coming by and there's not people up to the yellow line and right up shoulder to shoulder with everybody on there. So it may not look full, but for COVID-19 reasons, it is full. Because again, we need that space and we need that airflow. But yeah, as we get a little bit closer, probably August and know more about what the plans for the university are for students, what we can anticipate, we'll be able to put some of those numbers out and continue those conversations with the other university transit systems.
Finishing up with Craig Hughes of Apple Cart, one final question for you. I know that everybody's easy answer for all of this is just add more buses, add more routes, add more service, what have you. Could you detail for folks what that process looks like? Because I'm sure that there is, you know, we know Apple Cart to be an efficient user of its fleet. How long does it take to get a bus, and how much would that cost if that were the easy permanent fix for some of what you and your staff will deal with?
It's one of those tough answers. If everything lines up right, first you have to put a request into DOT asking for the bus. They have a prioritization process now, and it takes about 2 years to find out when you're on schedule to get a vehicle. Let's say all the stars line and planets line, and we're able to get one in 2 years, right when the next state budget comes out for a transportation improvement program. Well, a bus is about $500,000. So, you know, if DOT pays for part of it, we still got to find the local match to go along with it. And if you want DOT money, you got to wait and you got to go through their process, unless the local area can come up with $500,000 for every bus. So then it's another year and a half or year to year and a half to get the bus built after you order it. When they arrive, it takes us about a month or so to get it equipped and ready to go out on one of our routes. Then it's not just as simple as adding a bus to the route. You got to have a driver to go in there. So then there's the cost associated with paying a driver to go to that route. And, you know, prior to COVID-19, I think everybody was scrambling to find employees. So, and you've not only got to get a driver out there, but you got to make sure they're trained to drive a bus, because you don't want to just turn anybody loose with $500,000 vehicle that's going to be carrying 60 to 70 people on it. A lot of lives are at stake. So, it's roughly $60 an hour to run a bus. So when you put one out there, you've got to say, okay, well, that's my operating cost for that. Where's that money going to come from? Because it's not, Apple Cart doesn't have a money tree out back that we can go out and shake to pay for this. So we have to get with our partners, whether it be the town, the county, the university, the state, the federal government. Sometimes there's grants available, but the federal grants run out eventually. So we need to be prepared locally to cover that. So that's one of the tough jobs for our board, is to come up with new ways to figure out how to pay for routes and meet demand. We're not expanding routes just because we want more routes out there and the possibility of more ridership. We know it's there.
Well, we certainly know that a number of folks in the community are dealing with these same logistical challenges of taking resources, reapplying how you use them, and trying to make that an effective use of those resources. So we applaud your efforts for doing that and appreciate your time and transparency here today and just talking about how Apple Cart's dealing with this. I know that there are a lot of tough decisions to be made, but we certainly appreciate you kind of taking us inside what some of those have been like, and wish you nothing but the best of planning and safety and good health as we move a little bit closer into the start of the fall semester on campus. So thanks for joining us here today.
Yeah, thank you, David. Glad to be here.
All right. That's Craig Hughes of Apple Cart. And that does it for this installment of Mind Your Business. We'll be right back here again next week, same time, same place, on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM. Good morning.
People, they make up one of the top industries in Watonga County. Locals that call this special place home. Visitors who frequently escape to our beauty. Students who come here to learn. Alongside App Healthcare, the Boone and Blowing Rock Chambers of Commerce and Appalachian State ask you to show your love for all who walk our streets by practicing the 3 W's. Wear a face covering, wash your hands, and wait 6 feet from others. Show your love, and together we can keep Watauga County safe and open for everyone.